Hey everybody, welcome back to episode 15 of the Tumbling Saber podcast. We're a day late, but believe me, it's for the better this way. To paraphrase Lando, I've had cold and flu symptoms of every kind, and I've had computer difficulties. But we're back in the saddle, good to go, and glad to be back with you all. And I'm still dealing with this pesky cold, so you're going to have to excuse my stuffiness for this week. And hopefully you had a chance to, in the last week, catch up with our last episode with Anna Maria Leonte, who was in The Force Awakens. And if not, go back, give that a listen, it's well worth the time. But our numbers from last week say that you did check out the show, so thanks to everybody who listened in. Last week was by far the biggest week in our brief history. So again, thanks for tuning in. And I also want to extend my thanks to anyone who took the time to vote for us in the Star Wars Podcast Awards. Unfortunately, we didn't make it through to the finals. Doesn't come as a shock to me, and that's okay. Because everybody who is there certainly deserves to be there. So go on back to StarWarsPodcastAwards.com. And check out the finalists and cast your vote if you catch any other Star Wars podcasts. Definitely continue to support what they're doing over there because they're doing a great job in saluting everybody who puts their time and energy and passion into into the respective Star Wars podcasts. And with all that out of the way, I want to welcome in today's co-pilot. No, not Mr. James O'Flaherty. He's got the week off this week. None other than my brother Corey, also known as Chop Rules on Twitter. Hey Corey, what's going on, man?
What's going on, brother?
Not too much, man. We're just recovering from our respective sons' birthdays, and yeah.
The Force is strong in our family, and both our sons are actually born on the exact same day, 2 years apart.
Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Did I get that right? Chop Rules on Twitter?
Yeah, with a Z.
Chop Rules with a Z. Go give him a follow on Twitter and let's help pull him out of his social media-less life.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not big on the social media, but I would be happy to speak with anyone.
Yeah, Twitter has changed my life in ways that seems silly to talk about, but if not for Twitter, we would not be here today. That's the long and short of it.
Yeah, for sure. I've always noticed that you've always followed the arc, the edge of technology, you know, like
I wouldn't go that far, but I know what you're getting at. I've kind of stuck with web technology, and in a previous life, I was more of a sports blogger, hockey blogger, and through Twitter was given opportunities to be on actual radio and other various podcasts, and one thing led to another, and here we are talking Star Wars.
I also want to extend a big thank you to Anna Maria. And yourself as well. I think you conducted a beautiful interview. And
beautiful.
Yeah, it was great. Like, honestly, I could sense her beauty, like her passion, she seemed like such a free spirit. Like, really, I was like, you both did a very good job. And I was very, enthralled by the whole.
Yeah, thanks. No, Anna Maria was terrific. Glad to consider her a friend now.
Yeah, I'd like to reach out to her, but as I said, like, that whole social media thing. But I was thinking about it. I was very close to.
Well, she would love it if you just dropped her a line on Twitter. And that goes for anybody who may be a little shy or apprehensive about reaching out to somebody. Just give her a little tweet and say, heard you on Tumbling Saber and, want to thank you for everything you're bringing to Star Wars. She would absolutely love to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely good. You guys did a good job.
Thanks, man. The check's in the mail, Corey. So usually we start with sports, but sports around here is a little bit depressing right now with our Habs sucking the bag. So we're going to instead talk about some animated movie news that came out today. Not about Star Wars specifically, but tangentially related because Mark Hamill is going to be reprising his role as the Joker in the Killing Joke animated movie. So I wanted to get your thoughts about that because that's one of those seminal stories from when we were kids. Of course, we saw the book, the comic book, the graphic novel, whatever you want to call it, it's a classic in every sense of the word. And now that it's going to be immortalized in an animated movie, I think it merits a quick little chat here, especially with Mark Hamill in the mix.
Well, first things first, like I know I said I wasn't a big social media guy, but this is old news to me in a way. Like I heard the rumors, I knew they were going to be making a movie, And they, everyone, like the internet said, like, it has to be Mark Hamill, you know? And yeah, so that's not really news to me, but I'm super stoked about it. Like, just briefly, The Killing Joke was actually one of the first major comic book purchases of my life. And it was first edition. Somehow I lost it along the lines, but I actually went out there and bought it again, first edition. And actually, you bought me a copy as well.
Is that right? Did I?
Yeah, it was a 10th printing. But anyway, I still have the first printing. And it's just one of those memories that I'll have. It's pretty much the epitome of all Batman stories through a lot of people's eyes.
Yeah, it's for a lot of people.
Well, Batman versus Joker, anyhow.
And it's a controversial story, depending on your views of what happens between the Joker and Batgirl, and Batman and Joker at the end. And maybe this movie will shed a little light and bring maybe a bit of finality to what those scenes actually mean and what happened.
It's possible, but when it comes to these things, I've got them all PVR'd. I really like what they've done with Frank Miller's work as well in the DC animated universe. I think they've done a much better
job. One?
They've done Year One. They've also done both Dark Knights, and they were all of them very, very,
very,
very good.
Well done. They're super well done.
Yeah, I really, really like them. So I think they'll probably stick more, to the pages of the comic. I don't think they'll go ahead and assume too much. Leave it a bit ambiguous, you know?
Yeah, I imagine they'll want to keep that conversation going. I wouldn't expect them to conclusively decide once and for all what happens there.
No, but I'm definitely excited for that. I think it's a really good move on their part. And like I said, I think they're really kind of, for better lack of a better word, like they're kicking Marvel's ass in the DC or in the animated universe of things, of comics. Like, I think Marvel's really fallen short on that front. Like, I own a few of their movies, and just the animation itself, everything about it, like, DC's taking their time with it, and it's well done.
Yeah, all of DC's animated movies are terrific, but would you rather have better animated movies or better live action? Because Marvel is certainly the front runner in that regard.
Yeah, but, DC's been a little slow, we'll say, but...
A little slow.
Yeah,
they move with glacier speed.
They've almost set themselves up for failure. Like, I've already read articles about how Batman vs. Superman could be the first flop of the year and whatnot. But I'm going to go see it. I think it's going to be good. But yes, I know what you mean. Like, definitely live action. And their animation is just eye candy. Like, I love what they've done with it. They've taken the time with the drawings, and it's not
even
sloppy.
Going back to the TV series, the Justice League series from the early 2000s. That was terrific.
I think I know which one you're talking about, but unfortunately, I never really followed it.
Now, that was a great show, and they had all the big names for that show. But anyway, enough about animated stuff. Let's move to another tangentially related topic to Star Wars. Did you catch the story? It's starting to pick up a little more steam, and I think we're still a few years away. But would you pay, say, $150 for another box to have with your AV gear? Whose sole purpose would be to stream movies on their day of release. So instead of having to drive out to the theater, you could have this box, which you've paid $150 for, probably a little more being up in here in Canada, but you would pay for that, and then on the day of release, you would fork over an extra $50 to have, let's say Batman versus Superman, since it's right around the corner. You'd pay an extra $50 and have that streamed right to your house on opening night instead of driving out to the theater. So is that something that interests you, or do you think, no, you can't do this, it's going to wreck theaters, and these types of movies are only to be enjoyed in the theater until such time that they're released on Blu-ray or Netflix or whatever?
To be honest, I'm kind of on the fence about it a bit. I think one thing you're missing is you do get two free tickets to the movies.
Yeah, that basically gives you the right to go to the theater, see the movie, and spend more money on concessions.
The big thing in the past has been that the movie companies or the theaters have said that, no, we're going to go out of business. And they're offering them, I think it's what, 20%? Even if the people don't go or not, they're still making money.
Well, the concept is out of every $50 purchase, they would get $20. So 40% of anybody buying, the theaters get a big chunk of that. Now, I don't know if they'll admit it or not, but they're getting killed anyway by piracy.
True.
So they may as well. I mean, it's going to happen, whether they like it or not. Something like this is going to happen. So they may as well find the best deal for them and get on board, because one way or another, there's going to be a day, and it's going to come really soon.
It's true. Everything's moving that way, you can tell.
TV, you can get a TV now for a few hundred bucks, and you can get a home theater system, which I'm hugely passionate about. It's what I do for a living. So I love home cinema, and I would absolutely fork over the money, as long as it was reasonable, to have something streamed to my home on opening night. Because, listen, you go to the movie, often it includes dinner, which is probably minimum 50 bucks if you're not eating fast food for two people. If you're going with kids, it's definitely more than that. You might buy concessions, which again is a complete ripoff. You've got the movie tickets itself. And whether if you bring the kids with you, it's one thing. If you leave them at home, you have to pay a babysitter. So a night out at the movies could cost, you know, $100.
Yeah, so that's true.
It all boils down to how much you'd want to use it, because I like, for a movie like Batman vs. Superman, Civil War, and definitely anything related to Star Wars.
Well, this is the year. If you were going to ever have this thing, this would be the year to have it.
Well, I'm saying this is the year where I would go. I'm going to the theater at least three times this year. It's really difficult for my wife and I to get out to the theater because of the dearth of babysitters, or the cost of babysitters in addition to going out to the movie. So, I would definitely invest in one of these things for sure. But there, like I said, there are movies that I would still make time to go out to the theater for, without question.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly it. You nailed it pretty much there. That's the thing about that. Like, you would need, for me to feel comfortable having this, like, first of all, I would need to have that bit of spare disposable income, but I like movies enough to maybe take that chance. And then secondly, like, you need a nice home theater, you know, like, you need to really, like, amp it up a level.
Well, I've got that check mark. I'm not worried about that part. I mean, I would certainly love to have a little bit of a bigger TV, but I got the sound system, which is, it's half the experience. Most people just think of the TV, but it's half the sound too.
And the chairs, everything. Get a popcorn stand going, whatever it is, you know.
Well, popcorn is like the cheapest thing in the world to get and make yourself. No problem there.
You gotta have that association for me, you know? If you want that theater experience. But there's definitely, like you said, I would go to the theaters too for certain movies like Star Wars.
Yeah, like there's absolutely no way I would not go to a Star Wars movie in theater on opening night. There's unless I was absolutely deathly ill, couldn't leave the house for some crazy reason, I would be in theater. I'd want to be there with Star Wars fans taking in the vibe.
But I also think this is noteworthy as well, don't you? The guy who created Napster is the one that's behind this idea, no?
Yep, definitely. He's I guess he's...
Napster. When was the last time you heard that word?
Well, probably when I read the piece on it. But before that, you're right. Who knows? A long time. So it seems like he's working on something a little bit more above board this time instead of pirated music.
Yeah. Well, he's got the money. Like you said, it's probably going to happen.
It's going to happen. There's no question about it.
And it could be a nice little luxury, you know?
Well, sure. I mean, the technology's there. It would be silly to not have it. So it's absolutely going to happen. The question is it going to take another 2 years, 5 years, or more? And my money is within 5 years, we will have the option to be watching movies from home. And I'm totally okay with that. You caught the Darth Jar Jar theory.
I did.
And did it, make you shit yourself, or just have a good chuckle? What was your reaction when you first caught that?
I almost think that, in a way, it's like Ahmed Best is trying his best to get back into the spotlight somehow, because he had just had a conversation not a few months ago that I had read, where he was just like saying that this character was a joke and we had heard the last of him, and we have. But I think really what he was trying to say is that his character could have had a bigger role had it not been so botched in The Phantom Menace.
Yeah, it definitely, I think the plan was for sure to have Jar Jar having a bigger role, because he went from prominent to secondary character to footnote very quickly. By Revenge of the Sith, we barely saw him. He was just that polarizing figure.
I'm really surprised they never killed him.
Well,
It could have been good for Anakin's transformation to Vader as well. It could have been story driven.
Yeah, the kids love Jar Jar. Just spend some time floating through Twitter in Star Wars Twitter, and you'll find Jar Jar fans, people who love him, and they're people that are in their early to mid 20s and who were 6, 7 years old when they saw the Phantom Menace, and they loved him. And I'll be honest, I've mentioned this before on the show. My daughter, who saw Phantom Menace for the first time last summer, she loved Jar Jar.
I haven't shown my son, and I'm so excited for him to see it. And I have the same kind of feeling as well. He's going to react the same way as your daughter.
Which is what Lucas was going for. He was looking to make little kids smile. And he's also there as a character to kind of represent the tone of the galaxy, which was sort of jubilant, naive, kind of klutzy. And that was Jar Jar's role. And of course, you could also say that his role continued to follow the tone of the galaxy throughout the prequels. But this theory has now morphed into somebody at some point had come up with a theory, quite elaborate too. It was a well-written thing, but ultimately I think, I don't know what you have to ingest to go down this road. It's something like Alice in Wonderland style. but it was suggested that Palpatine was not the mastermind, but Jar Jar was, which is just every type of absurd to me. But now this theory comes back into the fore. It's based on a conversation that Ahmed Best had recently, where he kind of hints that Jar Jar originally had more of a key role planned. And it was based off a scene that was filmed for an Attack of the Clones, where just after Jar Jar calls for the emergency powers to be granted to Palpatine, Jar Jar and Palpatine have a quiet chat together, where Palpatine basically tells Jar Jar the whole story of what was going to happen. And you get the sense that they were trying to paint the picture that Jar Jar and Palpatine were in league together, like mustache-twirling villains. Like, they were both in it together, they were both partners. Which is I think, is a ridiculous leap to make. It's basically all... The conversation could have simply been Palpatine saying to Jar Jar, "Representative Binks, you've done a great thing for the Republic, and by helping grant me these powers, we will, together, you and I will bring peace and prosperity and justice to the Republic." And that's it. That's all he had to say. And Jar Jar goes along his idiotic way, and then nobody's none the wiser. I think that's where it ends.
For sure. I mean, that was his character. Like, even if they did have that conversation, it wasn't as if Palpatine was looking at him as a superior. You know what I mean? Like, Jar Jar, like, he's very easily manipulated. And I think that's what we can ascertain from his character. Like, he granted the emergency powers.
Well, he figured that, well, Padme would do this. Well, it was Palpatine's Porky Blue Buddy who said, "If only Senator Amidala were here." That's when the light bulb moment happens for Jar Jar.
Exactly.
He goes, "Well, then I'll do it. If she would have done it, then I'll do it for her." You know, we all know what happened from there. But this whole thing is completely insane because it completely ignores Jar Jar's continued arc throughout the Clone Wars animated series, which is canon, of course. And he just continued to be the same bumbling dope that we saw in The Phantom Menace.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think we can put that to bed. And the next time it comes up, don't click on the website. Don't feed the fire. Just stop the clickbait. Enough. Jar Jar is a dope. For some people, he's a lovable dope. And I will admit that I have a soft spot for that floppy-eared idiot, but he is what he is.
It's just like anything else. Like, no one can talk shit to me about Jar Jar Binks unless you're a Star Wars fan.
Well, it's like when somebody growing up, if they would start making fun of your high school, even though you hated your school.
Yeah.
You know, now we all, you know, 20 years after graduating, we all love our high schools in hindsight. But then at the time, you're like, "I can't wait to get out of this dump." But if somebody then would have dissed your high school, man, the hairs on the back of your neck stand up and you would get super defensive and you would want to go to bat for your school. It's the same kind of thing, right? anybody in the Star Wars universe is kind of like family in a way. So yeah, you don't want to hear some non-fan just picking on Star Wars.
They don't have the right.
No, they have no rights. we're playing a Donald Trump card here. Really.
Yeah.
You want to protest? Get out of here. So were you upset as I was about the Chewie snub in The Force Awakens, where he just sort of was left to mope and mourn on his own? Because I continue to this day to be really angry by this. And I wrote about it when I posted my review on tumblingsaber.com. That was my biggest, and this is the day after the movie, so it wasn't any kind of Monday morning quarterbacking. It was my raw, unfiltered thought that I was really upset that the movie was shot and cut together that way to make Chewbacca sort of an afterthought.
No, I do agree. I actually remember I saw the movie with you the first time, opening night, and it was one of those things too for me that I was like, what just happened there, you know? And then I kind of blocked it out. Like, it obviously didn't bother me as much as it bothered you. Like, I read the blog. I've listened to every episode. So yeah, this has been a topic of conversation in several episodes.
I'm still mad about it. I'm sorry if people are tired of hearing me talk about it, but I'm still pissed. That's it.
No, I understand. I mean, I would have liked to have seen that moment. Even if Rey had got her moment first, there still should have been a, you know what I've kind of rationalized it down to in my head? I almost wanted to talk to you about this too, and like just call in to the show one day and be like, yeah, like,
Well, this isn't AM radio. We don't have a call in number.
I know, but
best we could do is deal with email and read it the week after. That's how fast we work here.
Either way, I kind of just told myself, you know, Wookiees, they mourn differently. Leia respected that.
Don't try and make excuses for that obvious screw up. Don't do it.
No, you're right. It was a screw up, and JJ admitted to that this week. Like, it's redemption for you. Like, I think he almost wrote it just for you.
Well, he should have, and I was waiting for a personal apology, but it didn't come.
But you know, I like what he had to say too. He admitted that it was an oversight, but I think his reasoning was because he said that he was so involved in helping Finn to wherever he needed to go to, because he was like gravely wounded, right?
Well, you see Chewie helping Finn off the Falcon, but then you see him sort of just like meandering by himself, and where he kind of brushes past Leia without a glance or without anything. And JJ said it was the way in which he blocked that shot, which I think is that's kind of true. But he said if he had blocked that shot differently, where Chewbacca was not in the shot, nobody would be complaining. And I call BS on that too, because right after that was the shot of Chewbacca inside the headquarters by himself in the corner sulking.
Yeah. He was crying.
That was the shot. That's the one that got me. It wasn't as much the brush by when they were walking. It was the Chewbacca sitting there by himself. Now, of course, everybody when they're mourning is going to have that moment to themselves.
No, we needed that Han Leia moment. We really did. That Chewie Leia moment. We really needed that. I agree with you. I missed it. I felt it. Like, I'm with you, but I wasn't as upset as you. I know Chewie's your favorite character, and he's pretty much my favorite character, I believe, as well. One of them, anyhow. It's hard to choose.
Then how could you not be as mad as I am? God damn it.
I'm very patient. The Force is strong with me, Kyle. I've been through a lot.
Okay. Well, you know what? Maybe Rian Johnson felt it, too. Maybe he's writing a makeup scene in The Force Awakens where Chewie and Leia have a quiet moment together.
Yeah.
Talk about how they miss him.
For sure. I hope so. Why not?
It has to be rectified. I want restitution. It cannot be left unaddressed. This is the hill I will die on.
No, yeah, you should start a petition.
I might go to change.org right after this, and I'm gonna petition Rian Johnson or somebody to fix this, because it's an abomination.
But at least he addressed it. At least I have to give JJ props for finally saying, you know, I made a bit of a boo-boo. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah. No, absolutely. He gets points for owning up to that. Not saying, no, what are you talking about? It's perfectly fine. He owned up to it, called it a mistake, and I guess he's moving on, but I'm not. Clearly. But we're not done with Chewie news, because it's been, it's been confirmed by Bob Iger himself that Chewie is going to be in the Han Solo spinoff movie, which is not surprising, but thrilling nonetheless. I'm glad to see this. We're going to see this relationship originate on screen as opposed to in a comic book or a novel.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Imagine if it's just like the Skywalker, Luke Skywalker in The Force Awakens. You're going to see Chewie for a second. They're going to meet at the end of the movie and that's it.
No. Another Chewie snub. Just sneak him in at the end. No, I would throw things.
No, I think the movie has a lot of potential. Like, you and I growing up, well, a lot of the lore we kind of know about Han Solo's past may not be true anymore. Like, all we basically know now is that he grew up on Corellia.
Oh, Han's a completely open book now.
But we finally get to go to Corellia, which is going to be amazing. I've said this before, is that we've never been there.
Maybe we won't go there. Who knows?
Well, hopefully.
I mean, I would put money on, if you ask me with a gun to my head, are we going to see Corellia? I would say probably. But, maybe not.
I'd love to see a young Wedge Antilles as well. Maybe they know each other.
Well, I don't know how much fan service, or I don't want to call it fan service, but I don't know how many links to the original movies that there will be. I imagine there'll be some, and of course, from a visual standpoint, there's bound to be plenty of connections. But as far as characters, we've got Han, we've got Chewbacca. Beyond that, I don't know if anybody needs to be in it. Boba Fett might show up somewhere. I wouldn't expect him to have a huge role.
Well, yeah, I think you're missing out on one major character. I think the culmination of the movie would, like, I pretty much have the movie already written in my head how it would go, but I think the climax in the movie could possibly be Han pulling some kind of scam with Lando, against Lando and Chewie, getting the Falcon in a game of Sabacc against him, and, like, it just being a shit show somewhere, wherever they are, you know, something bad goes down between in that scene. That's got to be done. Come on.
Yeah, I did forget Lando. He could be in it for sure.
It's his ship. We gotta see the birth of the Falcon.
Yeah, I think it depends, right? Like, I don't know if they've got more than one Han Solo movie planned, or if they're gonna just play all their cards with this movie and then deal with Han Solo Part 2, depending on how Part 1 does. So yeah, I would think they're probably going to put all the cards on the table and we'll see Lando. We'll see him get a hold of the Falcon. And then anything else that comes after that will be...
The Idiots Array? That's for any hardcore Star Wars fan who's watching Rebels.
Yeah, so I mean, that movie's coming out in a couple years. So we've got some time to wait on that. It's kind of slipping under the radar because we're just getting buried now with episode, even Rogue One. I mean, we haven't even talked about Rogue One in this episode, and it's just a few months away.
Yeah,
it's being buried. I mean, we're seeing. Have you seen any of the leaked images from Dubrovnik from episode 8?
Yeah, I caught them. I caught them not too long ago. I guess it was maybe sometime last week. I saw a few.
There's a few more today. Slew came out today. Today being Monday, a bunch of them leaked online on TMZ. And I gotta say, some of this stuff looks pretty strange. And I never thought that episode 8 was going to be weird. And of course, there's no real way to know if what we're looking at is what we're going to see.
I didn't see anything too weird in those photos, though.
Yeah, look, like, aliens in tuxedos kind of looks a little strange to me.
I missed that.
Well, they're all kind of wearing like these ceremonial, this black robe, ceremonial garb stuff with almost white puffy shirts underneath, like almost Seinfeld pirate stuff.
I missed that one. I didn't see that one.
Yeah, yeah, keep looking. You'll see some weird images.
I saw the horse, or the space horse, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that's a cool looking thing. I'm looking forward to seeing that on screen.
It looks like there's some police force out there too. Those were some of the earlier images.
Yeah, I mean, if you're adept enough to know the Orabesh, you would see that I think the letters on their helmet translate to CBPD.
Someone did point that out. I saw something about that.
Yeah, it was the first thing I did when I saw the image. I kind of zoomed in as closely as I could, pulled up the Orabesh, and CBPD. Now, the natural assumption is that it's some kind of police force. But I also thought these guys looked pretty Naboo-ish. I mean, the gray, black, and white color scheme of these guys is not very Naboo. But the shape of their helmets, the cleanliness, I guess I could say, of their uniform, it struck me as Naboo. And of course, the sets of Dubrovnik, the way they've gussied up the storefronts, that also strikes me as looking like Naboo. I said it on Twitter at the time. It looks like Naboo, it feels like Naboo, so of course it's not Naboo.
So no, you're right. I think it's a good assumption. Like, I actually just saw the photos you were looking at. I was just looking at them on the feed. And, yeah. Okay. I definitely agree with you there.
Yeah, there seems like a Naboo vibe, but I think based on all the other images, if it's all to be the same planet, it's not Naboo.
I was going to touch base on this before. Actually, you know what? Let's not go there.
All right, let's not go there. I apologize to anybody who was trying to stay spoiler-free. We just sort of punched you in the face there.
Well, I mean, there's nothing really... I mean, we're only making assumptions here, too. You know, like, there's no meat on the bone. We know nothing.
No. We were just looking at pictures and writing a movie in our head. And right now, there's even at that, just looking at leaked spy cam images, there's nothing to go on.
You can really tell on these photos too that the people, whoever's taking them too, they're in the shadows hiding.
Oh sure, I mean this is paparazzi type stuff. But all this to say is here we are just months out from Rogue One. I think we're just about 9 months and 2 days away, and we're not even talking about it. We don't know when the trailer's dropping. We don't know anything about it. We still haven't seen images from the movie. There's precious little out there about the plot, although...
Good. I'm an advocate of that. I love that. We know nothing. Stay in the dark.
It's not going to last.
No.
At some point, the silence will break.
But I like to keep relatively spoiler-free. I don't want to know all the nitty-gritty. I can know who some characters are. Like, I think recently we had just discussed this weekend that Alan Tudyk, who I love, is playing a droid in the movie. We found that last week?
Yeah, he was confirmed to be, I don't know if it's confirmed, but it's strongly reported that he's going to be voicing a stolen Imperial droid who will be reprogrammed to help the rebels in their mission to steal the Death Star plans, which is cool. Who doesn't love Alan Tudyk?
He's amazing.
He's lovable in everything that he does. Moving on, plowing ahead here. Not that we're running out of racetrack, but Benicio del Toro is going to be in Episode 8, and here we're talking more Episode 8. And it's not been confirmed, of course, but he's more or less confirmed as being the main villain in Episode 8. And I'm curious if that's true. I think that opens up a ton of possibility for the movie. But I'm curious at this point to know what that does to Kylo Ren's role and Snoke's role.
Very, very true. Maybe he's that's a good question. I haven't really thought about that much. Like, because I hadn't heard too, I knew he was kind of going to be a villain, but I'm kind of getting the sense that he's not so much like almost a part of them. He's almost like doing his own thing. Like, I can't see him being another Sith Lord.
Well, there are no Sith Lords. There are no Sith in this movie.
True. Of the Knights of Ren. I can't see him being a Force user, basically.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of reports that he's playing an older, aged Ezra, which I find interesting. I never put that in the stupid fan theory of the week because I think it's plausible. I'm not prepared at all to say...
Well, you and I had discussed this in an earlier episode.
Did we?
Yeah. And I was like, X-nay on that. Like, just his voice, like everything. Like,
well, yeah, there's the accent, which is a big stumbling block right off the bat. But otherwise, the look, I guess you could argue, works. The age definitely works. Anyway, we'll find out eventually what his role is. But if he is a villain, Can that, and he's the main, if he's the main villain, does that push Snoke to the background again? Which I think is probably likely. I don't think we'll deal with Snoke until episode 9, kind of like we didn't deal with the Emperor until episode 6. So you'd have kind of like a three-headed villain in episode 8, similar to Revenge of the Sith, where you had Dooku, Grievous, and Palpatine.
Yeah, it's possible. You never know. Maybe Snoke says, you know what? Here's my ace in the hole. Here's Benicio. He's going to properly instruct you.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's
because we know he's going back there for training.
Yeah, I guess it's possible that, Snoke did say it's time to complete his training, but did he say that he was going to complete his training?
I personally believe that that's not the case. Like I think he's all smoke and mirrors, Snoke.
Snoke and mirrors?
Yeah.
We've been debating that back and forth. Who is Snoke? What is he really? Is he a Wizard of Oz type guy, or is he,
the real deal?
The real deal. I think there's no doubt he's kind of the real deal. Just what shape does that take?
Yeah, he's gotten to where he is for a reason.
Yeah, he's definitely very underhanded. He's probably going to teach Palpatine a thing or two about being underhanded. But I'm still really, really curious as to what type of or what capacity a Del Toro villain would play. Would it be the Grievous type? Would he be sort of a
possibly bounty hunter-ish, Sicario style?
No, I think he's beyond that for Star Wars. I think he'd be more of a I don't know if
actually. No, I know what you mean. That I think that guy can say a lot with his eyes. So yeah, and the more that we're talking about it, like maybe he does have a presence in the dark side because he does seem like quite a dark guy.
Well, he always gives you sort of an uneasy feeling no matter what. Like, I've never felt cozy watching that guy. Even has he ever played sort of a protagonist in a movie?
I think he has. He's trying to be I can't think of the movie now, but he's been a funny man in a few, but no, for the most part, it's like Fear and Loathing style.
Yeah, so at best, he's sort of a anti-hero.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
All right, so we'll find out more about Del Toro, but I'm curious because I know they did some rewrites to include or to focus more strongly on the characters that we got in The Force Awakens, and I wonder if that just pertained to Finn and Rey or if that also included Kylo Ren.
Of course it included Kylo Ren. And there's something I want to touch, like if we can maybe get this out of the way right away about Kylo Ren. You guys, like on the show, you guys talk about this quite often, about Kylo Ren's possible redemption. And like me personally, like listening to you guys, like I just want to jump in the conversation sometimes. And I'm like, guys, like, come on. Like this is the ultimate endgame to Star Wars. It's always about that. You know, like, of course, even no matter what he did, he killed Han Solo. Okay, fine. Like, he's not beyond redemption. Like, even you or I, like, kind of hard for me to say in a way, but like, either way, like, you and I were brought up Christian. Like, there's a lot of ties between Star Wars and all religions. And I remember properly basically hearing from people, like, who spoke for the Lord, basically saying that, you know, you can go out there, like, if you killed people and whatever, like, if you were truly, truly sorry on your deathbed, like, if you honestly, like, felt remorse and were truly sorry, like, God would forgive you. Yes, so Vader coming back at the end of Jedi is, like, it's perfectly normal, you know, when you look at it like that. Like, I was like, of course. Like, he was truly sorry for what he did. Like, he realized everything at once. Like, and Kylo Ren's the same case. Like, you could see that, like, I think that's going to be the end game. Is like, it's going to be a balancing act for Rey to try and bring him back, and she may fall to the dark side, but whatever it is, the Jedi way is not to fight. You know, like, she's probably going to go out there saying, you know, like, there's people out there who still care about you. Like, come back.
Well, I think that's going to be more Leia's job.
Possibly, yeah. She's got to get a little more trained up.
I don't think Leia's going to be fighting with her son. I think she's going to confront him in a similar way that Han did. She sent Han to his death. She sent Ben away to the academy and lost him. So I think she's going to have to put herself on the line here in this family's quarrel.
That's a good theory.
So I'm convinced that she's going to have to step in. And we don't know where Luke stands. Kylo Ren was one of his students, and he lost him. Does he regret losing him? Or does he feel like he can still be saved? Or does he feel like, nope, he's gone off the deep end. He's not salvageable. You got to think that given the way he was so steadfast about saving his father.
Exactly. He'll never lose hope.
But again, I think we're seeing a much different Luke, a much younger, I don't say naive, but more optimistic Luke.
Yeah.
Wouldn't lose hope. But now that the shoe is on the other foot and Luke's had everything he loves, or everything he's worked for in his academy taken from him, maybe he's completely, well, we kind of know based on what Han told us that he is completely, he took it on himself. He felt responsible and he took off. So
That's what I want to out. There's something that kind of pertains to that. I actually read something a while ago, and I know you've spoken about this as well or written about it. I can't remember. That Luke's kind of possibly finding this first Jedi temple. He's kind of not so much like Luke the White, but kind of like Gandalf the Grey. You know, like he kind of basically realizes the Force exists between the light and the dark, and kind of tried to find a balance between both. Have you heard that? Anything about that?
Well, I mean, probably not more than you have. So, whatever you've heard is, you know, conjecture, just like anything I would have heard.
I don't think that's the case, personally. Like, I think Luke, you know, he's got his own demons to deal with, and he's a Jedi, and, you know, he's gonna have to face them like a man and come out on top. He's gotta be the bigger man.
Well, I think as a Jedi Master, he's sort of beyond all that. Like there's no swaying Luke. He knows who he is. He knows what he's about. And so his only mission, I don't think Luke worries about going back to the dark side. I don't think he feels that pull anymore. I think once he threw down his weapon on the second Death Star, I think that was it for him. He became a Jedi and there was no going back. There's no corrupting Luke at this point.
Yeah.
That's the way I see Luke. So I see his struggle now as, does he owe the galaxy a Jedi Order? Does he have to do this again and again until he gets it right? Or, you know, he gave it the old college try and it didn't work. And no matter what, every time a Skywalker tries to do something right, it all goes to hell.
No, I think he's going to have to realize that, you know, he's got to try again. The universe, the galaxy, the Force, whatever it is, has presented him another window of opportunity. And it could well possibly be his daughter. And she's pretty involved in the fight now. So he's going to have to man up. That's another thing, too, is that I want to bring up. Like, if he is her father, he's the only one that can tell her. You know, it wasn't up to anyone else, Han, Leia, anybody, to say that to her, you know. Even if did tell her.
Sure, of course. He would have to be the one to tell her.
And that'll be a scene. Because can he tell her right away? You know, like, is that the first thing you want to say in a conversation with someone that's just learning to use the Force? Will he choose if that's the case? Like, you know, he's going to probably wait. He's going to wait till, you know, either it's too late or...
Well, I don't think he can. I don't think he can hold that back. He's got, I mean, I don't think he'd just come right out with it. Like, I don't think the opening scene in
it would take a dramatic scene for it to come out. It's not just going to be like, hey, we have to have a talk.
You're right. That's a dramatic reveal, and it's going to get a dramatic scene. But I would be kind of weirded out if they spent all kinds of time together, training and whatnot. And
well, he doesn't know her really, right? Like he knew her till probably younger than your daughter right now, man. She was about 4 when she gets dropped off on Jakku.
Yeah, but still, if it's his daughter, it's his daughter. He knows.
Of course, he would know, and. Like, it would be unmistakable.
No, given the way Luke reacted when nobody told him about Vader, like Yoda.
Exactly. It's like he would have learned his lesson, right?
Exactly. So, you know, he didn't, or unless he saw the wisdom and the lesson he was taught. And now
exactly.
It could fall either way, but you would think given what he, or given his reaction, like, Ben, why didn't you tell me? Yoda, what the hell? Why didn't you tell me? You guys, we've been bros for years, and this is how I find out?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of a dick move. or at least he, at the time, he felt it was a dick move. But maybe in his older years, he realized, you know, now I appreciate the way they went about it.
Yeah, he was too unstable. And it was the true test. Maybe, like, you know, exactly, had he went with his father at the time, then so be it, you know. That was the way, the will of the Force.
Well, that's one of the things about Star Wars. It's always the will of the Force versus personal choice. And they always kind of go to your way to say that you always have a choice.
That's true.
So will of the Force is one side of the coin, and your own ability to choose and shape your own fate.
Well, that's the thing. I really, like, me, I have a great imagination, and when anyone ever says anything,
no, you don't say. Like, anything else you want to say about yourself? The show's yours. Go ahead.
Sorry, no. Cool. Just basically, like, when it comes to the Force, like, I'm able to kind of play into it, like, listen to it, like, when all these things happen in Star Wars, like, these people are meeting for a reason. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And that's what I love about it. It's just, you know, it kind of provides an easy out.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I get that, you know, the Force works in mysterious ways, and the will of the Force, this and that, and it can be used as sort of a catch-all for anything that you can't write your way out of. But I think that's, I've mentioned it before, it's kind of lazy.
Yeah, it could be a cop-out for a few things.
I really feel like that's lazy.
Like, we had a discussion, I think, recently about how in Rebels, the Inquisitors are able to track Kanan and Ezra so easily all the time. Is it the will of the Force? Like, are they connected that strongly?
Yeah, I mean, either the Inquisitors are extraordinarily sensitive and can pick up sort of fingerprints, so to speak, in the Force, that here's where they've gone. Or they have a technology that helps them track them, or that maybe there's a rat on the inside who's telling them exactly where they're going.
There's also the babies, like, how are they? There must be, yeah, you're right, because in that episode, Future of the Force, they track down these two babies that are Force sensitive somehow. So it's not like, I think it would be more technical.
No, that's a good point. Somehow they're finding out about, or able to hone in on very Force sensitive beings. But we'll find out for sure. We haven't talked about Rebels at all in this episode. We went a week without it. That was a long week, man.
It was. I was disappointed. I was really disappointed last week when I was waiting 9 o'clock. I didn't know.
Well, this is why you got to watch Rebels Recon. After each episode, you got to go online, StarWars.com, and follow up. They just said we're taking a break next week. You would have saved yourself a lot of heartache. I remember getting a text from you last week. You're like, where's the new Rebels, man?
I was like, WTF.
Like, dude, it's not on this week.
I was looking forward to it after, it should have been expected though after an episode, the last episode we saw.
Oh, Rebels Recon's a must, man. You gotta check it out. It's 5, 6, 7 minutes and, it's full of insight, and you get a preview of the following episode. It's required viewing.
Noted.
So you wanted to talk about Kanan and the Seventh Sister, and if they've had a past together. So go ahead, have your say.
Well, I don't necessarily want to talk about it. It's kind of a theory of mine in the way that they've been talking to each other recently on the show. And I kind of find it interesting as well that it's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar. They're married in real life, so I think that could be fun for them to do it. And I don't know, well, basically, like, from what I've gathered, I've been watching the episodes kind of over and over sometimes, because my son says, you know, like, let's watch Star Wars. And I'm like, great, sounds good to me, you know? So I'll just put on whatever episode it is. So I've seen all of them a few times, and I was actually watching one this evening, and it kind of just smacked me in the face, and I was like, really? Like, it's the first time that they meet the Seventh Sister and Kanan, and she looks at him, and she says, ah, Kanan Jarrus. She's coming out of hiding at last. Like, she knows him. And we already know now that Vader's been drafting old school Jedi. Probably either, like, you know, if he saw they had a susceptibility to become dark, he probably said, join me or die, you know?
Well, we don't know where she comes from. We don't know her origin story yet. We don't know if she was a Jedi, same as, or a Padawan, same as Kanan, or
if she was just drafted.
Yeah, if she was just conscripted by Vader
but
and the Emperor.
That's what I'm feeling. I have a feeling that they were connected, that she was a Padawan at one point, either a Padawan or maybe even a youngling, because she does seem a bit younger than him. But she does that to it.
I think they're about the same age.
Yeah, so it would make sense that, like, just the recognition that she gave him was, like, kind of like, okay, wow, like, they have a past. And then in the latest episode, Shroud of Darkness, which was just mind-blowing, the episode starts off with a great pan down and just a great saber fight between the fifth and seventh sister and Kanan Ezra. And they're just going at it, and she says something to him along the lines of, like, look at your handsome face. And he says right back to her, he says, I don't do crazy anymore. So at a point, like, you know, you kind of almost get the impression that they had a past. They had a bit of a history there. They might have had a fling back before they were Jedi, you know?
Well,
Jedi are trained up as a Padawans, you know?
Backing up to your first point, when she mentions that, oh, Kanan Jarrus coming out of hiding, we don't know how she knows about him. It could be that they've met, or maybe, you know, she was looking at the, you know, the wanted poster on the wall of the
exactly.
Star. And she, oh, that's what he looks like. Okay. And she has no idea who she is other than a face on a picture.
Yeah. That would be option B to me.
Because I mean, we don't know enough about her backstory. If she was Jedi, then for sure you would have to say that they know each other. But if she's not, Kanan was, you know, if you've read the Kanan comic book series, which is amazing, he's gone, he's completely underground. And there's nothing, I don't think there's anything in that series, I'm not completely caught up, but I don't think there's anything in that series to make you think that, she would know who he is in that timeline.
No. Well, she might rear her head, you never know.
I mean, the series is all but wrapped up. It's once issue 12 drops, that's it.
Really, eh?
That's it. And I don't think the Seventh Sister has made any appearance in that series whatsoever.
Well, we'll find out, I'm sure, possibly even before the season ends.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not ruling out that they know each other, but I see no evidence of it aside from what could be just a innocuous, playful bit of scripting between
banter. I don't know. I just see it more than that. And I have to say one thing about the, like, if we want to go on another quick tangent here, you and James talked about this quite a bit, and he's almost got me sold on his, when he's talking about, Maz Kanata looking at Finn and saying that she sees something in his eyes. Like, at first I was like, come on, James, you're better than that, you know? And then I was like, you know what? Like, he's so passionate about it that I was like, you know what? Maybe there is something here. Like, and every time I listen to you guys speak about it, I'm like, you know, I'm kind of on the fence now. I don't know how to feel about it.
Yeah. I mean, James is sold on the fact that his family is of significance, and we'll see.
Yeah. It's a good, he's got his name on that one.
But it also means that I would think that it's somebody we've already met.
That's possible.
And I don't know who that would be. The obvious reach is Lando. And who hasn't made that connection already? Or it could be, the cadet. There's a cadet with Ezra in one of the early episodes of
the
season.
Yes, true.
I forget what his name is. It might come back to me, I don't know, but he had also a sister. You know which episode I'm talking about?
Yeah, for sure.
I can't remember their names. It's sort of right there on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember it.
No, I can't remember their names either. I know Ezra's going under the name of Des Morgan. Dev Morgan.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Somebody too late will say, you idiots, that's his name. How can you not know? But considering that he was also training to be a stormtrooper or imperial officer, maybe he is where Finn comes from, or his sister, his missing sister.
Well, and that's another thing about his sister too, right? She got taken because she pretty much is force sensitive. if you remember correctly, right?
Yep. She was, well, they never said it was because of force sensitivity.
But she, like, it was.
She was taken.
She was taken because, like, that was the program that was going on there, kind of, in their training, is that those, like, Ezra was going to be conscripted to that program because they were like, they basically said something along the lines of, like, he's showing signs of whatever, and they're like, okay, like, bring him in. Because he was too good, you know?
Are you thinking that they were going to try and, that's sort of the Inquisitor training program?
Yeah, for sure. So it's definitely a way of filtering it out anyhow. I'm sure they have more than one program out there, but that would definitely be one of them.
Possible. I think there's something to that. Because at some point, I've said this before in the show, Rebels has to tie into the movies in a real tangible way. Aside from just being a bridge. I think that Rebels has to have some sort of connection to the ongoing sequel trilogy. So episode 7, 8, 9. I think somewhere along the way, there's going to have to be some sort of connection there to bridge that gap.
Well, I saw actually, I wanted to forward you this today. I saw a video that was kind of like a compilation of like Star Wars stuff. And Rebels, it was like live action Star Wars, and Rebels was involved in it as well. And it was like, kind of like almost like telling it to a kid, saying like, the rebellion once started, like, at this time. And, you know, you see like, Kanan and Ezra and the ghost.
Well, find the video, we'll share it with the listeners.
That was pretty interesting. I am very anxious to see how it's gonna tie into everything as well. Like, I'm on pins and needles all the time when I really think about how this show is going to end. Like,
I'm completely, terrified about never mind how this series is going to end. I'm much more tunnel vision than that right now. I'm terrified about how this season is going to end.
Yeah.
And all my shows that I follow, or the two shows that I follow most closely in Rebels, and The Walking Dead, I am dreading the end of each season. I don't want to see it. Because I think both episodes are going to take away beloved characters.
Yeah, they're going to be heartbreakers for sure.
Yeah, I mean, for sure in Walking Dead, they, like they always do, somebody big is going to bite the dust in a very brutal and gut-wrenching way. And I think that we're all semi-convinced that Rebels is going to end on a pretty sour note.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a cliffhanger. I don't necessarily know if we're going to see Ezra turn to the dark side necessarily, but he's definitely going away.
They've strongly hinted at it, right? Have you seen the preview for it where he's, where quite literally have Darth Maul whispering in his ear while he's force choking the Seventh Sister, lifting her off the ground, and Ezra looks like he's got murder in his eyes.
He's like, he's game. He's like, oh, this is the way you get it done.
So, it's bad things afoot for Ezra. Everybody has their thoughts lined up for Ahsoka and what's going to happen with her. It's, even Kanan. Kanan's not even immune from a bad end here.
No, that's one thing I discussed with you recently. Then it's really weird to me as a Star Wars fan too. Like, I didn't even see that or consider it, but I had read an article saying that, you know, what if Ahsoka lives and Kanan's the one who passes away in the last episode? If anyone has to bite the dust, like, I would not have seen that coming whatsoever.
Yeah, it would, I think at this point they've got enough possible avenues that whatever they do could be almost be seen as a out of left field type thing.
And that's Star Wars at its best.
Sure. It's careful writing. It's playing the long game.
I think this is another thing I just spoken to you about recently as well, is that, you know, I was speaking earlier in the show about not having gone on social media in quite some time. But when Star Wars was first announced being bought by Disney and there was a new movie, I go on IMDb a lot. And I went on this forum, and I decided last night to, someone had asked the question, should I watch Rebels? And I said wholeheartedly, like, go for it. It's a great show. And right away, someone basically said to me word for word, I think you're being paid by Disney to say what you had just said. And I was like, whatever. Like, anyway, like, it's the kind of thing you don't respond to, but anyway, just kind of disheartening, you know? Like,
you responded to it, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, but of course.
In political fashion, like, I said that I'd wish I wrote for Disney and whatnot, but, you know, it's a great show. I've seen every episode several times, and we're all blessed to have it, basically.
Well, look, everybody's got their opinion, and if there's one code of conduct or mantra that applies to the internet, it's never read the comments. Just don't do it. It ends badly every time. So, yeah, by all means, share your opinions, share your thoughts, and then when somebody trolls you, you'll never change a troll's mind, ever. You could give them every bit of factual evidence in the world. They won't. They'll just dig their heels in deeper.
Yeah, that's kind of odd to me.
And there's your lesson for today.
Yeah. Well, I kind of learned that word a few years ago, but God, it's like I said, it's just disheartening sometimes, you know?
Oh, well, you know what? The show is doing just fine without the troll. So whether he knows what he's missing or not, that, you know what? I bet you this is somebody who still watches the show every Wednesday at 9 o'clock, just like the rest of us. And who gripes because they like to gripe. Some people are not happy unless they're upset.
No, you're right.
And with that, I think we are at a racetrack here. Yeah, thanks for coming in, buddy.
Anytime, man. Anytime. It was great.
Yeah, we'll have you back. I think once Rebels plays out, we'll help each other talk ourselves through what we're going to see. we might need the therapy.
Yeah, we might need to help each other feel a bit better. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, by the end of the month, we will have season 2 of Rebels wrapped up. And
I'm kind of curious how our children are going to react to this.
Well, I always sort of screen the episode first, just in case something terrible happens. And then if it's... Well, nothing terrible has happened so far. But you're right. If Ahsoka gets skewered, or if Ezra turns to evil, Harley's already told me I don't want to see it.
Really, eh?
She's already said, then I'm not going to watch that show. And that's sort of the bluntness of a kid, right? Where they tell you exactly what they think. If hey, that doesn't sound fun to me, I'm not going to do it. I guess that's one of the great things about being a kid, that you can afford to be that blunt and honest about it.
Well, eventually I'm sure she'll want to watch it.
Oh, she's a Star Wars fan now, today, and probably will be, but I don't know if she's going to care about Star Wars 10, 15 years from now. We'll see. Well, Corey, thanks again for coming in, and thanks to everybody who listened in this week. If you liked what you heard, please head on over to iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you like to catch your podcasts, and leave us a review and help us push the show to the top of those rankings, whatever they may be. And otherwise, you can catch us on Facebook and Twitter. And like I said before, give Corey at follow on Twitter at Chop Rules, and help pull him out of his self-imposed Luke Skywalker-esque hibernation.
Yeah, it's true. I'd love to hear from anybody.
Make him learn to like social media. And until next week, everybody, thanks for tuning in to episode 15 of the Tumbling Saber podcast, and we'll talk to you again next week. Ciao for now.